This is episode number 82 with UFC heavyweight Brendan Schaub. Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin. Yo, yo, yo. What is up, everyone? Thanks so much for tuning in today. I've got a new buddy on. His name is Mr. Brendan Schaub, and we got connected through a mutual friend of ours, Patrick Devenny. And I'm very excited about this interview. Probably one of the most entertaining, fun interviews I've ever done here on the School of Greatness. Just a hilarious human being. And as I was connecting with Brendan and researching about him and learning about him, I realized we had a lot in common. Within the first 20 minutes of just researching him online, I discovered 15 things that we both have in common. And more and more kept coming up as we were talking. So we dive into a lot of these things that we have in common, but it's not just about that, what we have in common. It's really about the inside of the mind of Brendan Schaub and how he really became so successful in the UFC, basically learning a brand new sport after playing professional football and being a collegiate football star, and how he applied the same mindset as an athlete growing up and transitioned that into being a competitive athlete in the UFC and a competitive fighter in the UFC, and all the stuff around his story. I'm very intrigued by this guy and what he's been able to create for himself. Very interesting. So I want you guys to pay full attention, and it's a lot of fun, this episode. I felt like I could have talked to him for 3 more hours. So hopefully we'll get to have him come back on and share more about what he's up to. Now let's go ahead and dive in and let the class begin with Brendan Schaub.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
Welcome back, everyone, to the School of Greatness podcast. Super pumped today. Got a new friend on the show. His name is Mr. Brendan Schaub. What's up, Brendan?
What is up, man?
I'm excited, man. Yeah. We've got a mutual friend, Patrick Devenny, who's been telling me about you for about a year.
Yeah, right?
He was like, dude, my friend used to play football. He's like crushing it in the UFC,
crushing
dude.
Crushing it.
And I was like, crushing sweet. Like, I want to meet him. And we finally had a chance to connect.
We live close.
Like a few miles, right?
Yeah,
you're just down in Venice.
Man. Yeah,
I'm in Santa Monica for the summer. So I watched a video of yours, and you were like, "I'll find it and link it up in the show notes." But you're like, "I'm never leaving.
Never leaving.
I go to the beach every day. Ever. I'm never leaving.
I'm never leaving, man. I just bought a place in Marina, and I am.
You did.
My roots are here, man.
Dude, where
I'm from Denver, and I am just never gonna leave LA.
Dude, it's tough. The first year I moved from New York City, 2 years ago.
Yeah,
the first year I hated it. I was
really?
Miserable.
What?
New York, have you lived in New York City ever?
Or not an East Coast kid. Not an East Coast guy at all.
The energy there is so magnetic and infectious.
In New York?
In New York City.
I feel like it's such a hustle. It's too much. Like, man. I'm stressed out when I go to New
really?
York.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel you, man. But I loved it. I thrived off of it. And Then I moved here for a girl that didn't work out.
Standard.
So I was like, I hate my life.
Hold up. So you were in New York thriving.
Thriving. My life was incredible.
Flourishing.
My life was incredible.
This girl must have been a dime piece.
She is a dime piece.
Really?
She's a great girl. Yeah.
Yeah. Why'd you break
up? It was just like, it just was not working on all levels.
You met in New York and then she moved to LA?
We met in New York and she was moving to LA basically.
For to become an actress.
Singer.
Oh, standard. Yeah. Is she successful now or?
She's definitely gotten a lot better, like grown and more successful.
That means no. That means absolutely not.
She's a good girl. I'm
not. Sorry, man. That means absolutely not.
She's grown as a person, man. I'm not passionate about her.
You can pick up her album on Venice Beach right now.
She's definitely built a huge audience. I'll give her that. She's built a huge audience, come out with some new stuff, and like she hasn't made it mainstream, but she's grown. I'll say that.
She's growing. Remix. She needs a remix.
All right. It was actually the best thing that ever happened to me because I thought I was like the man, like emotionally.
Yeah.
I thought I was like grounded and could like take on any challenge. And then this happened and it rocked my world.
Love would kick you in the ass, my
dude,
man.
I had no clue how to handle it. I just had no clue.
And you guys dated for how long?
About a year, but it was like an intense
It was year. On. You thought it was she was like, the one?
It was just on from day one.
Dang.
And it was the most explosive, passionate connection I've ever experienced.
There's nothing like love, man. There's nothing like it on this world. Nothing.
And that drove me to move 3,000 miles across the country.
But I believe things happen for a reason. No, I really
did.
Do.
It did.
Because look
did.
At you now, right?
Things it was are, the, it's best thing, the best thing. Best right? experience, best lesson. I'm super grateful for her. And I love her for that. So I'm very blessed. It just was a mess.
Yeah. Now you're both doing good. Do you still talk?
Every now and then.
It's probably better you don't.
Yeah.
I don't think guys and girls can be friends.
We tried to for a while and then it just didn't work for a while. There was some kind of a connection happening on
bad
certain
idea,
and
man.
It's just like, yeah, let's.
Yeah.
Let's
you're
just
never going to move on. Yeah.
But, so the worst year of my life, maybe not the worst, but a really miserable a year struggle. Being in LA. And then all of a sudden I started to kind of evolve and grow, and then it was like amazing. I love LA now.
Yeah, the best.
And Santa Monica is pretty sweet.
You're in a good location. It's close to the beach,
couple
walking
blocks.
Distance to Main Street.
It's pretty sweet, man.
I love it.
I'm pumped to be here, but this isn't about me, my life, it's about your life. So we connected through a buddy of ours who used to play football with Brendan, that I'm friends with, been friends with for about a year and a half now. And I was doing research on you.
Yeah.
Online, watching some videos.
You can't believe everything you see.
That's why I'm like,
can't
let's
believe everything.
So I want to confirm. So I found 15 fun common facts about Lewis and Brendan Schaub.
Let's hear this.
So fact number.
Is this true or false? Am I going to say true or false?
You can say true or false. Yeah. So fact number one, we both were all state in football in high school.
True.
Okay. There's true. I was a receiver for 2 years, all state.
I was a tight end. Yeah. And then I was also all state in lacrosse as well.
I was all state in track.
Oh, snaps. Look
High
at
jump.
Us. Look at us.
High
what?
Jump.
What?
Okay. Fact number two, we both played Division III football.
Correct.
Whittier College. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Poets. Worst name in sports. Fighting Poets.
Oh, my gosh.
Shout out to the Whittier Fighting Poets. But I did finish my career as a Buffalo, University of Colorado Buffalo.
Yeah, yeah. That's pretty cool. That's interesting because I always wanted to transfer to Ohio State. I was going to transfer my Thanks for rubbing it in.
Sorry, man.
Well, I'll tell you why I'm glad I didn't. I was going to transfer my senior year, but I was just like, because I talked to them. They're like, yeah, you can come walk on, but there's no guarantee because it's like we kind of have our guys.
Yeah.
And my class, they had like 6 first-round draft picks. They had Santonio Holmes and a couple other big receivers that year. And I was just like, I may be like a special teams guy.
Yeah.
And it seemed amazing. I always wanted to play there. But I got to be a two-sport All-American in college because I got to play track and football. And I wouldn't have had that.
It's a different life. It's tough, man. It's tough because Division I sports, you're married to college football.
Yeah.
You got to dedicate your entire – and really academics take a back seat. Let's be honest here. Like I went to University of Colorado. I majored in football. I minored in sociology
right?
and business.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So when I was at Whittier, football, lacrosse team was a powerhouse, Division III powerhouse. We were very good. And I could have stayed there, probably done well at both of them. I thought I could have went – pro from there in lacrosse or football. But my dream was to play Division One, and I knew if I didn't take that risk that I would regret it for the rest of my life. Colorado said the same thing. Man, we don't know. It's tough. But as just a little bit of, I mean,
we'll
take you on. Yeah. You might have a chance. I was like, perfect. I'm better than I guarantee anyone you got.
Wow.
Because I believe in myself more than anyone, man.
Yeah.
And it's and people are like, oh, that's cocky. It's not.
I just believe in yourself.
Yeah, I have a dream, and I went for it. And at least I'm not sitting here saying, I'm not saying you are, but at least I'm not sitting here saying, I wish I would transfer to the University of Colorado. I did, and it worked out great, man.
Yeah. I don't regret not transferring because I was like, I got to do some incredible things. And I still went on which my dream was to play pro football. And I did that.
Yep.
I didn't care as much about D1. It was like, if I'm a pro, that's my dream.
Yeah.
So
I bet you got a better education.
Better education. I learned a lot more. I think I wouldn't be here right now if I went to Ohio State. I think I would have relied kind of on that big school, like my friends who were like doing the NFL thing.
Yeah. It's a different animal, man. It's a different animal. At the same time, too, the level of competition I got at the University of Colorado, and every day my job's on the line because when you have a five-star recruit, he can make 10 mistakes in a practice, and it's all good.
Yeah.
They're freaking holding his hand, and everything's all good. Brendan Schaub, the white running back, makes a mistake. They're like, go ahead and hit the showers, bud. So my room for error, there was none. So just having that pressure every day and that level of competition, I wouldn't be here now if it wasn't for that.
Sure.
And getting treated like, can you cuss on this podcast?
Sure, go ahead.
Sorry, man.
Yeah, you're good.
Getting treated like pure shit day in and day out and having this chip on your shoulder, that's why I'm here now.
Yeah, that's great. I felt that way in arena football. I don't know if you experienced this when you were playing, which is another joint fact, is that every day, every week, they were bringing in like 5 new receivers to practice.
Oh, yeah.
And they're picking guys up and cutting guys. There's no guarantee.
Yep.
And so I was just like stressed out every week. You know, it's like, for sure. You got to be on no matter what.
You got to be on. Well, think about it. In my life now as a professional fighter in the UFC heavyweight division, they're signing monsters left and right. There's some monster right now while I'm doing this podcast is freaking hitting mitts and getting ready to rip my head off.
Taking a pounding in his face right now. Like, bring it.
Yeah. Like, can't wait to whoop Brendan Schaub's ass.
Wow.
That's what you got to deal with. So I wake up with a sense of fear every single day.
This guy's a joker doing podcasts.
Yeah, man. Yeah. For real. That's how it is. Yeah.
Crazy, man. Okay. Fact number 3 was we both transferred colleges, but Brendan transferred to a D1 school. I didn't. I transferred down from D2 to D3.
I took a chance.
Yeah. Fact number 4, we both played arena football. You played with the Utah Blaze,
correct?
Right? Yeah, I played with the Columbus Destroyers.
Oh, nice.
And then I never played arena 2 for a season and broke my wrist and got
that's a bad
surgery.
Injury.
It sucked. I was in a full arm cast for 6 months.
Damn.
It's miserable, dude. It gets even interesting now.
Let's hear this.
Tip number 5.
Are you going to say some girl's name? We both slept with Marianne. Damn, bro.
No.
That's a little too much.
No.
Sorry.
Number 5, we both practiced with the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, really? You went out there?
I went out there.
Oh, really?
Did like a two-day practice in the stadium.
And yeah?
Yeah, I didn't get picked up, but I think you were with the team right?
Yeah. Training camp and...
That's good.
Yeah, it was all right, man. It's a reality check on how...
So next level.
It's next level, but just pro sports are so vicious. Have you ever seen a lion attack a gazelle and you're just like, damn, man,
that was
so intense.
Every day.
That's how it was every day. It's just like, it's the survival of the fittest and it is so ruthless. And you know what's even more ruthless than the NFL? The UFC.
I can only imagine.
Even to the 10th degree. Because if I'm a quarterback in the NFL and I throw 3 interceptions, we lose the game. Sweet, man. I have next Sunday to erase all that. If the UFC books you as the main event on Fox and you have a snooze fest of a fight where it's not always in your control. It's matchup, it's styles, things happen. Maybe you have an injury, who knows? But the fight doesn't go well. And the viewership is down even if you win, you're in trouble, man.
You're not going to get fired for a couple of years, right?
Yeah, at least that not your next matchup.
Wow,
you're going to be in the doghouse. It's intense,
almost like,
man.
You got to knock someone out. You got to do something crazy.
Has to be entertaining. They would rather you lose being entertaining than win being boring.
Because then they know when you're back on, it's going to be entertaining again.
Yeah, people are going to tune in for that. And so you got to remember it. In any professional sport, it's entertainment. Yeah. It really is. It comes down to entertainment. There's a reason why the Denver Broncos were the most watched team last year. All they do is pass the freaking ball nonstop. That's what people score want touchdowns. To see. Yeah, man. There's a reason why LeBron James and the Heat were the number one watched team. All they do is throw alley-oops to each other left and right. Or, yeah, in the UFC, there's a reason a guy, you know, Cain Velasquez isn't the most watched heavyweight. There's other guys that are because they're going to sit and trade and take chances.
Wow.
It's a beast of a sport, man.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I was like, at one moment in my life, I was like, yeah, I could do the UFC years ago. And then I was like, man, I just don't want to get hit in the face that hard.
Right? Me neither, man. Me neither. Well,
I don't know how you're doing, man.
Well, people think it's a misconception. People think because I'm a UFC fighter, like I'm this aggressive, like gnarly dude. Not in the least bit. Not at all. You seem pretty chill. Super chill, man. My demeanor, super chill. Never been in a street fight. Definitely more of a lover than a fighter. Yeah. I just happen to be good at fighting.
Wow.
Yeah, it's weird.
You got a little cut in your eye. Is that from a previous fighter working out?
This was from my fight against Andre Arlovsky, and then I was working out on Monday, and someone freaking hit me again and kind of reopened a little bit.
I've heard fighters say, I don't follow the UFC that much, but I watch every now and then, like highlights and like just listen. But I've heard some fighters say that you almost get injured as much in practice.
Oh, more so in practice.
You do in like a.
For sure. Ah, it depends. At heavyweight's different. Heavyweight, you're talking about 265 pound dudes with basically nothing on. You have a 4-ounce glove on. If they hit you with a jab, your face can get jacked up. And I'm a bruiser. So, like my last fight, I destroyed the guy. If you look at the hit CompuStrike numbers, I landed, you know, three times as many shots, but my face was jacked.
All it takes is a couple.
Just a cut. Look, I'm a bit of a cutter. It's not cool.
I think I saw one with your head was split open. Oh, yeah. Just blood is all over the dude. Yeah.
Just getting uglier, man. My ears are not cool. Especially in L.A., girls are like, first of all, in L.A.
Like, what do you wrestle?
Most of the guys are about 5'8", 170 pounds. I come long in, hair. I got a busted up face. I mean, I'll try putting on the skinny jeans just to fit in more, but I stick out more. You know what I'm saying? It's a beast, man.
Yeah, that's funny. Okay. Number six, we were both guests on a TV show.
Oh, yeah?
Well, it said you were a travel channel show, Ghost Adventures.
I've been on Ghost Adventures, Chelsea Lately, and Mythbusters.
Sure, okay. I was on a Bravo show called Misadvised.
What's that about?
It was out for one season, then they canceled it.
Nah,
it was about three female relationship experts. Sad. Who were all single. They gave advice but couldn't take their own advice, called Misadvised.
And what were you doing on there?
One of my friends was like the stars, Julia Allison, and she asked me to come on one night to just like be her friend out of like an event. Not a date, but just like her friend.
Yeah.
And these other two girls were there as well, who were the experts on the show. And she ends up right away like trying to set me up on a date with one of them. And I was like, I don't really want to.
It's pretty awkward.
But she was like, you should go on a date with this girl.
And there's cameras
in my face. You should ask her out on a date. Do it. Do it. Do it. And I was just like, And then I didn't ask her anything. The girl comes up to me later, goes, so are you going to ask for my number or what? And I was like, sure. Yeah.
Was she attractive or no? Not your style.
Not my style. Not my style. You would have done it. Not my style. And kind of just weird.
That's just like weird.
And the producers
kind
of
be mad at your friend.
Yeah, I kind of was. But the producers were like, will you ask her out, please? Like, we want you to ask her out. You're great on camera, blah, blah, blah. And so for like a month, my like media coach was like, I don't think you should. Like, this is probably not going to be like that great of exposure for you for your business. It's like a Bravo reality show.
It's kind of cheesy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I ended up doing it. And it was
I decided to go ahead and go on with it. he advised me not to. I decided to do it myself.
It was definitely interesting. A lot of stress because it wanted me to like take her on these dates and I didn't like her.
Forget
and it was staged.
That,
it was
bro. Like, oh, heck.
And then they
no.
tried to like, this was the messed up part about TV, which I realized, at least about this network, is they tried to like blackmail me. They were like, if you don't do this, then we're going to make you look how we want to.
Really?
I was like,
wow.
So it kind of had to be like a little puppet for a bit.
I would have been out, man. It was like, screw your guys' show. We're not going to finish this.
It sucked.
I'll tell you what, though. I could use the advice of those relationship experts.
Yeah? You looking for a lady?
No, I wouldn't say that. But there's a common theme with...
the ladies you do date.
The girls I've dated where that they just say, you're the most selfish person I've ever met in my life. And you know what?
At least you're honest.
This is professional sports, man. You got to be selfish. And yeah,
but women are not professional sports.
They're not. You got to be able to turn it off, and I can't.
So what is it you do with them?
Everything just revolves around my career.
You're like, I got to do practice. I got to do this.
I got to do this. I got to do this. They're like,
gone.
Exactly.
I can't go to this wedding date.
Exactly. They're like, oh, let's go have dinner with my family. Like, nope, can't. Training.
So they just don't feel like you care.
I don't know if it's care, but it's like they're not the priority. God, it's a beast. Girls, you gotta show a little bit of effort.
A little bit of effort.
I know.
I mean,
I know.
You can't
man.
Just expect them to give you the world, and you'd be like, you could have a little.
It'd
piece
be
of
nice
sand.
That this, but and then I've
you
also
have some sand from the beach.
I know, man. I've also dated an alpha, so when you get two alphas together,
what was that like?
It's trouble, man, because you're an alpha for a reason. You know, I say I'm kind of a hybrid alpha, where I'm
alpha lover.
Alpha lover, but I'm also not like I'm not controlling.
Yeah.
But as a professional athlete, you're going to have a little bit of an ego. If you're dating another person who has an ego too, you're going to clash a little bit. You're going to compete no matter what.
Yeah.
You just are.
And
it's just natural.
You can't go into a ring or the octagon and be like, and have no ego. Oh. You have to be like, I'm the fucking greatest in the world.
Yeah, you have to.
In order to win.
It's your life, and you're gonna get hurt if you don't believe that.
You don't. Yeah, 1 second you can get knocked out, right?
So, but as far as the personal life go, it's tough. And then you got to talk about then you got options.
Oh,
it's a curse.
It's
a curse.
The biggest challenge of my life.
Options, man.
Options
is not a good thing.
And aggressive options.
Aggressive and very attractive options.
Oh yes.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like, dang, man. Like, don't get me wrong. I love Ferraris, but if I drive a Ferrari every single day, that's going to be just the normal everyday Ferrari.
This is
a Bentley goes by. I'm like, well, a Bentley's pretty cool. I'm going to check out the Bentley. You know what I'm saying?
Range Rover Sport leads by example. Picture this. Assertive on-road performance meets commanding all-terrain capability. That's the third generation Range Rover Sport, which is the most desirable, advanced, and dynamically capable one yet. This vehicle redefines sporting luxury, offering an instinctive drive with engaging on-road dynamics and effortless composure. Now available in sleek, new Stealth Pack, Carpathian gray exterior wrapped in satin protective film with black accents and black brake calipers. Inside the Range Rover Sport, advanced cabin technologies like active noise cancellation and cabin air purification offer new levels of comfort and refinement. And let's not forget about the award-winning Pivi Pro infotainment system. Enjoy a dynamic drive and total comfort with optional 22-way adjustable, heated, and ventilated electric memory front seats with massage function. Wow, that's like a spa day while on the go. Design your Range Rover Sport at LandRoverUSA.com. One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. When you get a new car or a new home, your first reaction might be to say things like, oh yeah, or I can't believe it, or booyah. But what you really want to say is the one thing that can get you the help you need. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm is there with the coverage you need for your car, your home, and even boats, motorcycles, RVs, and other things that matter to you. With a State Farm agent, you know someone is there to help you choose the coverage you need. With so many coverage options, it feels good knowing you can find what fits for you. And when you need ways to get help, State Farm gives you options there too, in person or on the phone with your local agent, or on statefarm.com, where their award-winning app State Farm lets you do things your way. So when you need help protecting the things that matter most, remember to say, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
This is my curse right now too. I just started dating someone exclusively. I can't believe I even said that on my own podcast, but I'm accepting it and moving into that role. And I told her, I was like, listen, I don't know if I can be with one woman for the rest of my life. Like, I just don't know.
She brought up, was like, I think we should be exclusive.
We were dating for, the last like 4 months. Not exclusively.
How often do you hang out?
Mostly on the weekends. Probably two, three times a week.
Okay, that's not crazy.
She's busy. She's like driven, focused. She's going to be getting her doctorate in physical therapy this year. And is working all day, then working all night. So it's like,
See, that's sexy though.
She doesn't have time for me.
That drive is super sexy.
She doesn't have time for me and she's focused and I'm like, yes.
Yes.
It's hot.
You can't wait to see her, right?
It's hot, dude.
It's super hot. I dig a girl with passion and drive.
And here's the thing I told her. I was like, I don't know if I can be with one woman for the rest of my life. And it scares me. Like, it's really a fear. And I don't know if I want to be accepted for at least having that fear.
And what'd she say?
She was like, well, that's something to think about.
She's like, that's something to think about. Think about me messing with other dudes. Exactly. And then tell me how you feel.
Exactly, which doesn't feel good.
No, man. So because, like, you think you have options.
Of course. She's getting hit on left and right. She's like the sexiest little thing there is.
Left and right, my man. Like, you're a good looking dude. Like,
yeah, thank you.
Like, I told you this right when I met you. I'm like, you ever met Luke Rockhold? He's the dime piece of the UFC. He's just a smoke show of the UFC. Good looking dude. That's you good. Look like
that's
him,
good
man.
That's good to know.
You look like him. Yeah, man. So even though you're an attractive dude and you have options.
Yeah, she's got options.
An average girl who's a five that might have
options.
Might have, you know, pretty eyes or a good bust or a butt or something like that. Her options are 10 times yours. Listen, if you and I mean, granted, yeah, maybe you and I go out in LA on a Friday night and we're like, dude, let's go get some chicks, bring them back home. Our chances are pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good because, sure, know, couple cutie pies. But if two average girls goes, man, we're going to go out tonight and we're going to bring some dudes home, it's a guarantee 100% it's happening. That's the difference. So when she says let's be exclusive, I deal with the same struggle, man. It's a beast. I feel like I'm Bruce Wayne and I have this curse and the curse is options. And the rest of the girls out there are Bane and it is trouble, man. I know. I don't know what to do. I don't know if I'm you know how some guys' issues are drugs, alcohol.
I don't have that.
They buy expensive stuff, food, any of that stuff.
Cars.
Yeah, I don't have that. Yeah, I like nice things. I have nice stuff, but it for me, it's women. My I don't say downfall, but my curse or my addiction is women.
Yeah.
I sound like fucking Michael Jordan right now. But it's not that bad. I have I've been in serious, very serious relationships and I've done very well. But at the same time, coming to LA, having a little bit of fame, it's a different animal.
Man.
Yeah. It's a different monster. I look at two people. Like, I went out last night for dinner and I saw these two people and just two average people. The dude was not in shape. And his girl was just average. And they were holding hands on the same side of the booth. And I was like, damn.
In love, huh?
I think I would trade spots with that guy. See, that's because I don't know if I'm ever going to get there. I honestly don't know.
That is what I'm most afraid of, that I'm never going to have that.
I know. It's scary.
And it's like, here's the thing, if I'm going to be honest with you. And to be honest with the world.
Please do.
Be honest with the world. Like, I've been on, stints where there's like four or five girls I'm dating at a time. Or just, hanging out with and, whatever.
We call that the roster.
Okay. Yeah, right? Yeah. And it's never been rewarding after a certain time.
It's not rewarding.
It's like...
It's rewarding for... Well, it's physical.
Yes.
Yes, that's it,
It's rewarding for like those couple hours or whatever it is.
Is it a couple hours? I guess if you're freaking Don Juan, it's great. But for me, it's maybe 30 minutes.
The build up
and then it's
to
like,
it,
what are we doing?
Yeah, exactly. Like,
what you should be searching for is your best friend who just happened to be physically attractive to.
Yes.
Because the sexual parts of a very small window of it, man. But that's what drives guys.
Yeah.
What it's are we going to do?
The cool thing about this.
We're all screwed.
The cool thing about the girl that it's hard for me to say. Committed to it, like girlfriend. It's hard to say that.
Admit it's the first
because it just happened recently. So it's like
Alcohol Anonymous. Admitting you have a problem is the first step. You have a girlfriend.
Man, it's hard to say though.
Yeah,
it's hard to say. But no, she's great. So the thing that's cool that I really like about her is like we play a lot. Like she does. She's a former gymnast, so we do this acro yoga. I don't know if you've seen my Instagram or anything, but I'll have to show it to you. I basically throw her up and like do all these crazy tricks in the air. Like this acro gymnastic stuff that I've been learning with her over the last 4 months. She's been teaching me.
Yeah.
And it's like she works out like a beast. She works out as hard as me, if not harder.
That's super attractive.
Like we did an ab workout together and I couldn't keep up with her.
Dang.
Six pack, like
how old is she?
26.
Okay.
And another fact of ours is that we're both 31 years old.
Yes, sir. Yeah, look at us.
I'm trying to put in the facts as we're talking.
Just get to this top 15. I don't know if you're going to make it through it, man.
Yeah, so it's like, here's the thing. To go back to this, the roster never works out. It's fun, and it's fun to talk about, and it's fun to be like, this is what I'm up to with your boys or whatever, but then it's like, is it really fun?
Is it fun? Because the most people... the guys I know are the biggest players are the most, you're searching for something. You're trying to fill a void.
And that's why you have so
it's basically like, no one wants to meet the 50-year-old guy who's still renting the place. You know what I'm saying?
No.
You don't trust the guy who's renting all the damn time or is leasing a car all the time. Trust the guy who's buying, right?
If he's committed.
If he's committed to a car or to a condo, trust that guy.
Sure.
You don't want to be that 50-year-old renting, man. I saw a thing on Twitter. It's dope. It said, 64 years of marriage, they died 4 hours apart. One died, the other died 4 hours. And shows two old hands in next to each other holding hands. Damn, man, what are we doing? Because it's going to show me, and it's just going to be like, alone. My tatted up arm, just alone.
Reaching for someone.
Cats in the room, like reaching for someone. It's just super sad. And like UFC replays behind me.
Oh, man. So what would be the ultimate woman for you? What does she like? What does she do? What does she, how does she make you feel?
Believe me, if I knew, we'd be.
If you could have any, if you could imagine,
and maybe I've already met her. Maybe I've met her. You know,
just
maybe
the right timing or something.
I don't know what it is. I'm tough to deal with. I'm a monster to deal with. Is when it comes to that stuff.
If you say so, though.
But apparently, there's only one common denominator here, and it's
you.
It's Brendan Jobs.
So what?
These other girls. I'm just like, there's no way all these girls are wrong. Maybe they are. I don't know. Maybe they are.
Well, there's definitely some like introspection, something to look at inside and be like, okay, what has been the breakdown in each relationship? Why is each relationship, is there a common theme besides myself that I've done?
No, it's just me. It's just me and being selfish. And there
you
go. Yeah.
You probably know a lot of the answers, at least trying the next time is like, okay, be more unselfish.
See, I don't know if
you don't want to sacrifice your career.
You have to have this mentality, I feel like, to be the best in professional sports.
So what if a woman accepted you for your selfishness? Would you be like, this is amazing, and would you be able to give a little more?
I think so. I like to think so.
It's kind of like if she accepted that she wasn't going to get much time. What if she didn't have much time for you? Because one of my challenges has been...
Don't leave me alone. Do not leave me alone. Oh. I hate being lonely, and especially when we have options.
That's
do
my
not leave me alone.
Here's the thing, though. One of my challenges has always been with women is that they want to hang out with me so much. Like, they like me that much. They're like, you're my future husband.
For I want to. Sure.
And it's like,
you're a unicorn. You're the unicorn.
And they're like, I'm like, give me something to like go after.
I agree.
And this girl that I'm with now, she like,
shouldn't have time.
Doesn't have time.
You.
And I'm like, what?
That's
You're the
dope.
Only girl in the world that doesn't want to hang out with me 24/7.
That's dope, because I dated a girl who really no drive, just wanted to be a mom.
Yeah, that's...
Freaking smoke show. The hottest girl I've ever dated.
But the most boring thing after
nothing.
2 weeks.
I was like, don't you have something to do? Or like, I'd go to practice. I'm gone for 6-7 hours.
She just wants to be there and watch you.
Yeah, she's still chilling at home. Doing just nothing. Chilling, nothing.
Yeah, it's not
just cool with chilling.
It's not attractive for driven guys.
It's not
guys,
good, man.
Unless you just want a housewife that's like going to take care of your kids and be at home all day. But
you need a partner in crime. You need a partner.
Who's at least
crime.
Got a
you
purpose.
Need a best friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. It's a
so
we could talk about this.
So tell
all
me,
day,
tell me
man.
What the ideal one would be if you could have any woman. What would she be like?
I have no idea.
No
I
idea. Can,
if I knew, we'd be in a good direction.
Well, I think if you created that vision for yourself first.
You think?
I think if you put it out there, like, okay, here's what I think I want at least. And you started looking for it.
I don't know if I agree with that. I think if you're looking too hard for it, love doesn't work like that. If you have this picture in your head of what the ideal woman looks like, or if you have this picture in the head how your career is going to turn out, because it's not going to, especially in the UFC or in professional sports, the way you think it's going to happen, it's not going to go down.
But you can have a vision for what you want to happen. You can say, my dream is to be the UFC ultimate champion.
Yes, exactly. That's
it may
the
not
goal,
happen.
But that's the goal.
So your dream for a dream woman.
A dream would be best friend, married, kids.
There
I love
go.
Kids.
Okay, cool. So
that's a standard, though, right?
No.
I don't want to be 50 with a Tommy Bahama shirt on, tight-ass khakis.
When do you want it by? And like, what type of, how
no
does
idea.
It make you feel?
See, I'm not going to put timing on it.
That's
you
true.
Can't.
It's tough. What if you're 50, though?
Well, then we're going to have to go to Russia, mail order bride.
But would you say at least by 50, you'd like to have your partner in crime?
50? Damn.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I'm 31. I would say, hopefully in the next 3 years.
Okay, well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
What
at
time?
Least while we're both in shape and
right?
like can have fun.
Not getting too fat?
Yeah, man. That's not, it's just not freaking getting all out of shape and nothing to
exactly.
do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll come back on and do another show about relationships, because this is fun.
Yeah, well, I can do this all day, man.
Let's go to point number. I just said point number 6.
Both 31.
And that's point number seven. Okay, the TV show is six.
Yeah.
Number seven is we're both 31 years old. Now this gets more interesting.
Let's hear it.
Number eight, we're both Pisces.
Oh, really? When's your B-Day?
Well, that's what number nine is.
Is it March 18th?
It's March 16th.
Shit.
So we split St. Patty's Day. So we both have a birthday next to St. Patty's Day.
What? Did we just become best friends?
That's what I was like. Why do I not hang with this guy already? Okay. So both born in March, both Pisces, because you're not always this a Pisces when you're in March, which is, makes sense why we're both alpha lovers.
True.
Both split St. Patty's Day, number 10. Number 11, both took up professional sports after competing in pro football.
Yeah.
So I play on the USA national team for a sport called team handball.
Yeah.
And the Olympics, the Olympic team.
Sick.
And we're trying to go to the Olympics in 2 years. So there's a very slim chance that we'll go.
Why is it a slim chance?
We have like the sickest athletes, but we've never played the game. So it's kind of like.
That's tough.
It's kind of me being like, I'm a great football player. I'm going to go try playing the NBA right now.
I'm with you.
Like, I can smoke them all in football if we're playing football.
Yeah, but these, the,
and I'm better athletes.
The rest of the world's more skilled. And they've been playing
since they're
longer.
Seven. So they just like flow and know the game.
So you guys
game.
Don't have a chance.
You know, there's a 3% chance.
3%?
3%. There's always
so
a chance.
You're telling me there's a chance.
There's always a chance. Like, you know, teams could get sick. Teams could just have their worst game. We could have our best games. We've got to beat three or four countries that are really good in South America. So the Pan American Games is how you qualify for the Olympics.
Yeah.
In team handball. And so it's all the countries in North and South America. South America's got pro leagues down there. We don't have a pro league in the US. So a lot of our guys go to Europe to play professionally. And then they come together for the USA national team and practice for like a couple weeks a year. So these other guys are just training together.
And are they making decent money being pro?
In Europe, you can make some good money.
Really?
Some of the bus guys are making probably like $1 million a year Europe.
Pretty good.
But I went to go play for a little bit in Spain on the team, and some of the guys were making like, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 euros a month. So nothing crazy.
Yeah.
But it's like.
And how often do you practice a week?
Right now in the U.S., like once a week.
Mm.
But I'm training every day. So it's like. For
what do you
me,
mean training? You mean you're like lifting weights?
I'm working. I'm doing CrossFit, kickboxing, running, playing basketball. I'm doing as much cross training.
But you're not doing handball.
But I'm not.
So and that's your guys' issue.
Exactly.
Because you're already a good athlete.
Exactly. So it's not out of any court
time. Is the rest of the team in LA?
No. They're all over the world.
Dang. That's tough.
But there, a lot of guys are practicing
together.
A lot of guys are practicing every day. There's a like the U.S. Most of the U.S. team is in Alabama training at Auburn. So I go down there like once every couple months and train for a couple weeks
with
the team. And the rest of the guys are in Europe playing professionally. So we're playing, but it's kind of hard.
It's a tough dynamic, man. And do you love it?
I love it, man.
Handball's your passion.
I mean, competing and playing sports.
Competing's your passion, but handball's
handball's my passion too.
Really?
Yeah. It's like, I mean, there's no other option for me to play on a world level.
Yeah.
In another sport. Unless I restart something new. And like try to learn a new skill. Like it took me 3 years to get to where I'm at in handball.
I feel like you'd be a beast in fencing.
I would be.
I just feel like you would.
I would be.
Right? Like all big and shit.
Yeah. But it's like, do I want to fence all day one-on-one with someone?
No.
Or do I want to like
miserable.
Yeah. Handball's like aggressive. It's like lacrosse with your hands.
That sounds pretty dope.
I don't know if you've ever seen it.
I've never seen it.
I'll have to show you. I'll have to show you a video. You'd love it.
They play handball on Venice Beach, correct?
Different handball.
Is it?
There's two different types of handball.
So you're more aggressive handball.
Imagine lacrosse with your hands.
You're playing on that big of a field?
On a bigger basketball court.
Okay.
It's like a little bit bigger than a basketball court with a mini soccer ball that you can dribble, pass, and you throw it into a net with your hands.
Sick. So it's kind of like water polo.
It's water polo without no water. That's what I explain to people.
Gotcha.
Yeah. You're the only one who picked that up.
Yeah, that's dope, man.
Yeah. So we're the only we've both played pro sports after completing football.
I like it.
Professionally, which is like crazy. But
that
you're like weird. You're like on your way to becoming a champion in the UFC. And
you could be an Olympic medalist.
Yeah, that's a dream.
A pretty
so
big
my
deal.
Dream was always to go to the Olympics as a kid.
Yeah.
And I was a decathlete in college. I was an All-American.
Wow.
But I knew that I wasn't good enough to go. Those guys are freaks.
Super freaks.
Freak athletes.
Well, you're also too big, right?
No,
you're a lot bigger than those guys.
I need to lose like, I'm 225.
You'd have, you have to have cardio.
They're like 190,
days, right?
You know, they're like 6'3", 190.
Yeah. Really? Yeah.
Because you got to be able to sprint. You got to be able to do long distance. You got to do
it all.
Everything. Explosiveness. Yeah, it's tricky. So, So this is my chance at the Olympics. If we, however, if the U.S. gets the bid in 2024, I'll be 40 or 41 by then, and there's still a chance because we get an automatic qualifier then.
Really?
So that's what I've kind of been my
hope.
Who's
the oldest on your team, though?
There's a guy like 38, I think.
Okay.
It's like if I stayed healthy and it's like I could be on the team.
Injury free, you could be on the team and maybe get the gold.
No, we want
to. It's going to be tough to place, isn't it?
It'd be tough. But
it's
just
like
US
and soccer.
To go, yeah. Yeah, but in 10 years, anything can happen. But just going to the Olympics would be a dream.
Heck yeah, man.
Just to walk through
as
the opening ceremony
and
just be like
about?
Representing the USA would be
hell
the most
yeah.
amazing
that's
experience.
Huge.
Yeah.
I'm
so,
with you.
So that's a cool fact about us. Now, why did you decide to take on the UFC or to take on
to
MMA?
To pursue, MMA.
And how many years after football were you like, okay, I'm going to try this thing?
Yeah, so this is a little different, I think, than most guys. Is most guys fail in one sport and then try mixed martial arts and pursue the UFC. My goal, my dad has a, when I was a kid, I think third or fourth grade, they said, what do you want to be when you grow up? I was the only kid in the class who wrote two things. I said a ninja or
a big-ass ninja.
Or an NFL football player.
I don't know, ninja's as big as you.
Yeah, right? So, and the reason I said that was because my favorite movie as a kid, my movie and my brother's, was Bloodsport, Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh, it's a great movie.
So, at the time, there was really no outlet. There was there was no blood sport. And granted, no one's going to put their kid into something like that.
Right.
The UFC wasn't
as big.
Karate
was the only thing.
The first UFC was in 1993 in Denver, my hometown. And I was obsessed with it.
Did
loved
you see it?
I saw it on VHS like a year later. Wow. My uncle Charlie would ditch school and watch him with him.
Wow, that's amazing.
So that's as close as blood sport as you could get. And I was like, damn, I want to do that. And Hoist Gracie, the jiu-jitsu guy, was tapping everyone out. So I wanted to do that. But I did everything. I mean, baseball, soccer, football, obviously, you name it. I did everything. Basketball. I played sports year round. I was obsessed with sports. I just happened to have a knack for football and I realized I could, you know, it could pay for
you're
my
a big
college.
Guy. You're tall.
I really wasn't that big in high school. I was a late bloomer. I was, I think I graduated maybe 6'1", 175,
wow.
like a smaller guy.
Jeez.
Yeah. I grew up, I was never like the big guy ever.
Wow.
So for me, I knew I loved the UFC. I followed it very closely. I knew I had the athletic ability to do it, but it takes a lot more than that. The mental capacity to be a fighter is insane. So
you gotta train like hours and hours.
There's no off season. There's just no like
constantly.
It's
if you
funny.
Take it 2 weeks off, you're screwed.
Yeah. Well, it's funny to me. People talk about NFL training camps, which I've done, or college Division I football camps. They're generally 4 to 5 weeks long.
They're
my training, they're very, right? 2 days, 3 days.
They are hard.
2 days.
The heat
now you
and
can't.
The pads.
But now in
it's only
the
two
collecting,
days now.
Yeah. But and you can't do them back to back.
Yeah, you got to do like a little break.
Yeah, you have
right?
to do breaks. It's different.
Because kids were dying when we were in high school.
True, they're like passing out from water and
but
shit.
There was a couple kids who died.
That's true.
Like literally died.
Yeah.
In 3 days.
So when I hear people talk about training camp, it's funny because in the UFC, you're talking about training camps 10 to 12 weeks long, 2, 3 days, 6 days a week.
To prepare for one fight.
For
not
one,
like
for
a
one
season.
15-minute fight, and if you're lucky, 25-minute fight. But one 15-minute fight
could
where,
be 10
where, it's
seconds.
The, where it's the Super Bowl. Where it's the Super Bowl. Like every fight is the Super Bowl.
Jesus.
So for me, playing in college, like I said, I started off at Whittier, played lacrosse, football there, and then always wanted to pursue Division I, went to Division I. Excelled there.
At Colorado, earned, right?
Yep, at University of Colorado. Got a scholarship there.
You
and
played with Scotty, too, right?
Scotty McKnight.
Yeah.
Good buddy of mine, man. Really good
awesome
buddy.
Guy.
Stud. Played there, and I fell out of the love for the sport probably going into my junior year.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, this isn't what I want to do. My entire life, I thought this was what I was going to do, and this isn't what I want to do.
Wow.
I just wasn't enjoying it anymore, and if I don't enjoy something, I do not hide it, man. But I still excelled. I still did well and you know, and gave all I could and trained hard, but I started doing after practice jiu-jitsu and boxing classes.
Shut up.
Mm-hmm. No one knew. No one knew. I'd walk into this gym and start to doing jiu-jitsu, boxing, and I'd be exhausted, but I had this dream. And then
wow.
I was I forget what the bowl was, the Tangerine Bowl or some shenanigans like that. My last game, my senior year, we played Clemson and just got destroyed.
Wow.
I think, not destroyed, we got beat. I just remember like, this is the last time I'm ever going to play football.
Oh, man.
And you know how most kids are crying? I wasn't. You're for me, sucking. I was almost like, next chapter, let's do this, man. And
but then you played pro.
So I remember telling my dad, I don't want to play football anymore. He's like, why the hell not? I'm like, I don't want to pursue the NFL. The NFL came calling. The Buffalo Bills, New York Jets, and one other team, I got invited to training camp.
Wow.
And so I went to the training camp.
You were playing running back or fullback?
I was like an H-back.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So got hurt in training camp, tore a hamstring as an unrestricted free agent, undrafted agent. It's literally like, screwed, man.
No
you're
chance.
Super, super screwed. I mean, even if that didn't happen, it'd been tough for me to make the team. So I get done with that, and then Utah Blaze kept it going to pay the bills. Now we're talking about money again. Still training MMA, still doing jiu-jitsu, boxing. I was like, because I knew that I could. I feel like I have an athletic advantage in mixed martial arts. I knew if I could take the time and train and not rush it, that I could do something special.
So you could be a better athlete than everyone.
Yeah.
And you just got to learn the craft.
Got to learn the craft, which is a beast to say.
It's hard.
And I almost had a false sense of confidence. Yeah. But at the same time, that false sense of confidence takes you a lot of places where you probably shouldn't be. But if you pass it, you're going to do pretty well.
Because half the time, it's not about the technique when the moment comes. Like, you've got to know the skills and how to get out of stuff. But it's like, you got to have the passion, the like energy, and just like...
Heart, man.
Heart.
Heart.
It takes one hit.
Heart takes you so far, it's not even funny.
One hit and the guy's done.
If you have a belief system in yourself and a heart, it's going to take you a lot of cool places. So for me, I just remember telling my dad and my family, like, football's done, man. I don't want to do it. And they're like, what are you going to do? It's like, well, I want to pursue. I want to get to the UFC. And they're like, you're an idiot.
Wow. You're 23, 24.
Yeah. They're like, you're an idiot. I have a degree. I have people offer me jobs. And I'm like, I don't want to do it, man. So I started training full time, jiu-jitsu, boxing, every single day. Just happened to stumble upon MMA royalty. You're talking, if you guys, most of your listeners probably won't know these guys, but if they know anything about the UFC, I walked in the gym. I had Shane Carwin, George St. Pierre, Rashad Evans, just Nate Marquardt, the who's who of the UFC. And
which gym was this?
This was High Altitude and Tease KO in Denver, Colorado.
And they were training there?
They were all
you
training.
You just walked
there.
In, you saw them all?
Well, I walked in and one day it was Shane Carwin. We were both heavyweights. He was the heavyweight champ of the UFC. Wow. And at the time he only had two fights. I had none. We started training together. And then this is how it all went down. I was training for about 6 months and he goes, hey, Golden Gloves is this weekend. This is on a Tuesday. He goes, Golden Gloves is this weekend. I go, oh, cool, man. He goes, yeah, I signed you up for it.
Wow.
I'm like, dude, I'm not ready for this. He's like, I'm telling you, you're ready.
Because you've been training with, he was the champ.
Well, at the time, you know, I had two fights. He wasn't the champ
yet.
He became
the champ.
Several years later, gotcha. He did. But we were both on this track to become UFC fighters.
Wow.
And he was like, I signed you up for Golden Gloves, which is all boxing. And I have no boxing experience, zero boxing experience.
Really?
And I was like, all right.
Were you training at all in boxing at that point?
I was training, sparring a lot, gotcha. But
no fighting.
Not like I wasn't having a camp or anything like that. And this is Golden Gloves, man, the biggest tournament in the nation. So,
wow.
And it was, you know, in Denver. So, Jesus. He goes, you're fighting this Saturday. So, I'm like, all right, cool.
It's like amateur. Is that what it is?
It's amateur. Yeah, it's all amateur.
No pros.
All amateur. But when you're talking about the amateur scene, you're talking about guys who have 40, 50 fights.
Jeez.
It's a monster. So, I show up and I remember telling my dad, because my dad really wasn't for it. And my brother was. My brother helped me out. Like, when I couldn't pay my car loan, all that stuff, my brother would let me stay at his house and do. Yeah. He believed in me since day one. Older
That's
brother.
Nice. Yes. Yeah, my brother's the same way.
So I told my dad, I said, just come to this Golden Gloves boxing match. If I lose, I'll go get a regular job.
Shut up.
If I lose, I'll go get, again, this is this false sense of confidence where you got to risk a lot to gain a lot. So I told my dad, if come, I lose, I'm done. You're right. I'll go get a job. I'll put a suit tie on and freaking hit King.
You want him to at least see you, what you were going to do.
At least come check it out,
see,
man.
The passion.
I want to put all this pressure on myself.
Wow.
So my dad shows up. The girlfriend's a whole different story. That's a funny story.
You had
story.
A girlfriend then too?
Oh, bro. That's a whole different story. I'll get to after.
Okay.
So my family all shows up. And the you look at the matchups, and I don't know any of these guys, and I have zero experience. And these guys have some experience, and they put me in the A class, which is the highest class. And that night, I had two or three fights and knocked all three guys out first round. And there's no knock. It's you have full headgear on, 16-ounce gloves, so the knockouts are unheard of. Three knockouts, and everyone's like, "All right, well, shit. Maybe these guys just suck." He's fighting. That next night's the championship, and I'm fighting a guy from Army, and he's 6'8", 270 pounds.
And he trains every day.
In the boxing. Army, and has like 70 amateur fights, and he's lost like four. I'm like, well, all right. I see what we're doing here. Like, I looked up at God, like, okay, I see what you're doing here. Maybe I should take a different path.
6'8"?
6'8", just monster. I have a great picture where I'm like landing his right hand. Yeah, and it's like Mike Tyson's punch out. Like, I'm Mac, you know, blasting this dude. And
is that online?
I don't think it is. I'll post it. I'll send it to you.
Send it to me. I'll post on the
classic,
show notes,
man. And yeah, knocked him out first round.
Shut up.
And
the bigger they are, the bigger they fall, right?
I guess, man. And then after that, I was just like, all right, well, shit. We might be able to do something here, man. And my dad was like, all right, well, let's see what happens.
He's like, don't get too excited.
Month later, I enter the biggest.
Oh, so you won.
Won the whole thing.
You beat the guy and you won the whole thing.
Won the whole thing.
That was a championship.
Golden Gloves
fight?
Champ, yeah.
Wow. Is that the national champion?
That's no. So once you win the regionals, then you can go to. My pursuit was only MMA.
So, you're like,
so I did that. I was like, dude, just check it out. This is cool. I did nothing past that. Boxing's not my passion.
Yeah.
So then
maybe you would have done well, but maybe not. Who knows?
I'm sure I would have done well if I trained for it, exactly. Who knows? But that was not the goal. That was just a sidetrack. Yeah. So then a month later,
they got you a taste of competing.
Yes. And at least people bought into it. You know, at least people were like, all right, we'll
make something.
Yeah. At least we have something to see that he's actually not a dumbass playing grab ass in the gym every day. So, the next month, they signed me up for the biggest jiu-jitsu tournament in Colorado, like the Colorado Open. Uh-huh. And a buddy of mine was running, Seth Daniels, and I wasn't even planning to do it. In the morning of, my buddy texted me, he goes, come on, man, come do the tournament. So I'm like, all right. I wake up, I'm running late, run in, register, walk in. They're like, you're up, man. And I entered the black belt division. At the time, I was a white belt.
Jeez.
And I end up winning the entire tournament in that single day. And again, my dad's there. My whole family's there for support. And almost all of them were submissions. Fought because the grappling match. But I grappled a UFC guy who was a famous UFC guy at the time.
Really?
And what's funny to me is...
Beat him.
Well, what's funny is I was grappling these other guys, and he made a comment to my buddy that goes, he's just an athlete, man. He's not very good. And I was choking guys out with the same chokehold, all of them. He goes, if you know how to defend, that's freaking easy.
And you choked him out.
So he's talking shit to me, right? And this guy's a name, and his whole fan base is there with shirts on that have his name
on it. Like a Chuck Liddell type of name?
For sure, man.
Who was it?
Yeah, his name was Mike Nichols.
Yeah, I don't know too much.
Yeah, he was on The Ultimate Fighter, and he fought in the UFC. Not in a successful UFC career, but at the time, he was a big name. When you're talking with someone who has zero experience, he was a black belt. So I go against him in the finals and caught him in the same move and put him to sleep. Yeah,
shut up.
Put him straight to sleep in front of everyone.
Tough to beat strength sometimes.
I tell you
if you know how to get out of it.
Collected my check. I was like, good shit, man, here we go. And then took an MMA fight. First three fights, I think my longest fight was like 53 seconds, all knockouts in
UFC?
The first round. No, this is MMA. So this is on like the regional tour.
Gotcha.
To get into the UFC. Had three fights and then
knockouts,
vicious knockouts, and then the Ultimate Fighter of the Reality Series called, and that was my ticket into the Chocolate Factory. That was my golden ticket. I got on there and I was a finalist. Yeah, that was my. You know how on 8 Mile when he gets up there and raps and destroys everyone, the Ultimate Fighter was my rap off. I was Eminem and the rest of the house was the rappers, and I rapped off to the finals. And earned my contract.
How many fights in the show does it take to get to the final?
Three in the house. So you're living with, if people don't know, it's so 16 fighters, right? 16 professional fighters live in a house. You have no phone, no communication in the outside
no
world.
No girls,
all the alcohol, all the food you can eat.
Shut up.
The only time you can leave the house is to train. There's no TV. There's no form of entertainment. So guys go crazy.
No TV?
No TV. No books. No books. No phone.
No books?
No books.
You
no
can't
phone.
Read?
For 6 weeks. They just want drama. It's like the
oh my god, think, like think the real world.
Think of the real world.
Testosterone
with world class fighters.
With now prize to win.
Like basically, you want to do this as a career? Fight each other.
The only chance
the only two left standing are going to have a career. What?
Oh my god!
You're talking about guys in the house from all different avenues, man.
World.
It's a beast. And on that show, I remember probably 3 weeks in is when guys start to break mentally. I remember I was cool. I remember I'd write in a journal. I have this journal, and one day I'll write a book, and this journal is going to be in there. But it just showed, and I look back at it now, and again, this confidence in myself. I remember looking at the journal and just being like, everyone's freaking out. I'm cool. I have three more weeks to go. If I do this, I'm gonna make a name for myself. Wow. I'm gonna be able to do what I've always wanted to do and be a professional athlete. So it's cool, man, to see that stuff.
Wow, dude. So you won all two fights. You made it
three fights.
You won all
three finishes.
All three.
All three
you
finishes.
You won the whole thing.
I no. And then so that you're in the house for 6 weeks where you fight each other, and the two who were undefeated in the house move on to the finale.
And
which
there's
is
two
like
teams, right?
Two teams. So our team won, and then
you fought against the other team's champion.
We were so successful. Both me and this guy, other guy, Roy Nelson, who's a phenomenal fighter, both had to fight each other on the same team because we destroyed their other team.
So there was no one left.
Yeah, and I lost in the finals. Granted,
to your own teammate.
My own teammate. I had four fights at the time. He had 27, former world champ, before he came in the house. Wow. So I was like this young kid fighting this monster. And
he was pretty good. Did he beat you pretty easily, or was it kind of like...
No. I was kind of putting it on him, and then in the first round, he caught me behind the ear with a huge right hand.
Oh, he hit you.
No, right hand. Yeah. And he's known for it, man. You know, I don't regret that at all. I was a very young kid. I probably shouldn't have been in there with him. With four fights, and you're talking about a guy, world-class guy like Roy Nelson.
He knows what he's doing.
He's a monster. And both of us have really good careers in the UFC now.
Wow.
We're both doing very well.
So even though you didn't win, you still got signed a contract. Because it's only one supposed to get a contract, right? Or is it kind of the take?
Usually, the two make the finale, you'll get a contract. However, if you lose that finale and then they give you a fight and you lose that next fight, you're not going to have a job. You're going to get cut.
Really?
So that next fight, so I lost that finale, first loss ever. Tough to deal with.
I hear you, man.
Very tough to deal with. Not cool. Lost that fight. And then they're like, cool, well, now you're going to have to fight this guy. It's going to be in your hometown. First time UFC came to Denver, I don't know how long. So it's in my hometown, all this pressure.
When was this? A few months later?
Yeah, probably like 4 months later, 5 months later. And they give me this. At the time, I just thought he was a complete monster. This guy was Chase Gormley. In Denver, hometown, have to win this fight or I'm going to have to go.
Or you're not in UFC anymore.
Go apply at Starbucks or something.
Wow. So what happened?
Knocked him out in 42 seconds.
Oh my God. Were you just like,
I've never been so nervous in my life. Was not on fire. So scared. It was unreal.
Because it was like the whole stadium was watching you.
The entire stadium. When I walked out, the crowd goes nuts. It's the loudest crowd I've ever heard. Even Dana White tweeted, whoa.
Because you're the hometown boy.
Just knocked out. Yeah, like, and it was insane, man.
I mean,
and I wasn't even the main event. I was just the hometown kid, but the arena was stacked because everyone knew I was fighting.
Right, right. So after you knocked him out, what was that feeling like?
I don't know how to describe it. It's one of those feelings where you're just like, holy shnikes. Wow, we're actually doing this, man. You actually have a career.
Wow.
And then shortly after that, probably like 7 months after that, then I'm fighting Gabriel Gonzaga, where if you guys know the UFC, Gabriel Gonzaga, I think he's ranked 10th in the world now, but at the time, you're talking about a legit monster.
Wow.
Like you're talking about one of the most talented guys in the world. Beat him. And
wow. Jesus.
It's just a different animal, man. And it's like in the UFC and there's these moments in your career, and I'll talk to the Ultimate Fighter guys, the guys who are in the house now, or they had me talk to previous seasons.
You coached one time, right?
I was a guest coach on one
That's
of
cool.
them on season 14. And, or maybe 17, I think it was 14. Yeah, 14. But I go and talk to those guys, and what they don't realize is they think by make it into the house that they've made it.
No.
They're like, dude, we made it on Ultimate Fighter. I'm like, guys.
Only one dude.
This is, first of all, for you getting a house, that's great, but you should expect to be here. Now your journey begins. You got to do well in this house, and don't get it twisted. I don't want you to overlook what's on the next side of the hill, but after you get over this hill on Ultimate Fighter, then you're actually in the UFC. These dudes aren't from a reality show. These dudes are world-class badasses waiting for your
pretty
ass.
With experience.
With experience. With you're talking about guys who are in pursuit of a world-class title, trying to be the champions of the world. You're not fighting other guys in the house where we don't know if they're UFC fighters. These guys are veterans.
Wow.
These guys are veterans.
They know the tricks. They've been in the crowds.
Exactly, man. So you're talking about a different animal. I'm actually August 17th, I go to give Ohio State football team a motivational speech.
No way.
Yeah. Oh, so it should be interesting, man. Yeah. Yeah.
I just thought about this.
Yeah, man. Dude. Just thought about this. Urban Meyer. Yeah. Asked me to come up there.
That's amazing.
And my whole deal is you should expect to be champions.
Sure.
At Ohio State, you should expect to be national champions. you'll see me after a fight, I'm happy, but I dissect my fight on what I could have done better and stuff like that. Because I expect to be the best, man.
Yeah, yeah.
And for those guys, I hate when I see a guy make an interception or I see a guy score a touchdown, how excited he is.
You expect it.
Cool, man. You were put in that position to succeed. You should expect to make that play.
Yeah.
100%. You should demand that out of yourself.
Exactly.
So that's the whole message.
Yeah. Man.
A lot going on right there, man.
That's incredible.
A lot going on right there.
I'm so interested in this now.
Yeah, man.
This is amazing. Well, next, how much time we got?
You got a lot of time, man. Okay, cool. Yeah, at least.
We could talk for hours, man. Jesus.
I'll talk your ear off, man. I love this stuff.
Okay, I'll throw in another tip here, another common fact.
Bring it. What number are we on? This y'all, fact 372. We both like M&Ms. Yeah. All right.
This is just off the research that I did recently.
For sure.
A little bit. I'm sure we got a million things in common.
Carry on.
Number 12, we're both 6'4".
Yeah. Yeah.
You're 6'4", right?
Yep, 6'4".
You're a little bigger than me. I'm about 225. You're 240.
245. Oh, you know what? Right now, I'm 254.
Damn.
So I fought 4 weeks ago. After a fight, I like to recover and just put on size and mass. Because when I go into camp, my body just breaks down.
Yeah.
So right now, I'm heavy deadlifting, eating wherever the heck I want.
That's good.
I'm thick right now. Thicker than a juicy. Snickers right now. Just thick, juicy quads and shit. Just my manager, who hasn't seen me in a while, came out to LA and was just like,
damn,
bro, what have you been doing? It's like, damn.
Like grass-fed beef out there.
Yeah, man. It's good. So it's good, man, because you can't have the car in sixth gear all the time. Yeah, you got to pull it down to second gear and recover and take care of your body.
When is the next fight?
I wish I knew. That's the problem in the heavyweight division. I think right now
so there's just not many guys.
I think right now I'm ranked 14th in the world, and I've either
slipping, bro.
I know. If you're not number one, if you're not first, you're last. But slipping is right. But
what's the goal to get back to number one? Or
were you ever been number one? I've never been number one. I think the highest I've ever been ranked is like 9, 10 or 9.
Okay,
yeah,
so getting the top 5 would be pretty sweet, huh?
Top 5 would be sweet. The rankings are interesting, and it's a newer thing with the UFC. But in the guys ahead of me, I've already fought them, or they're matched up. So, and there's not a lot of.
What does that mean, matched up?
Like they already have they're supposed to fight other fights. People. Yeah, the fight's coming up. So I gotta wait and kind of the waiting game's tough, man. And it's always fun to me because people say, well, you know, this will be my 12th or 13th fight in the UFC,
which
is a lot. Yeah, especially if you count
good career,
if you count my Ultimate Fighter fights. Yeah, wow. So which is good. And people are like, oh, you're a veteran now. You should be comfortable in the octagon. Listen, man, there's nothing you can emulate to act like it's the octagon. There's nothing you can do. In football, you can go 1-1. So you can go number one defense versus number one offense. It's intense, and you can have a crowd there, and it simulates what you're going to see in the game. You just can't do that in the UFC. I'm never comfortable in there, man.
It's 20,000 people.
I'm never comfortable. The lights are hot. The octagon's different.
You can't see anything.
It's cold. It's hard to hear your corner. Jeez. The guy you're fighting. Like this last fight, we thought he was going to do one thing. He did another. It's just, you can't emulate it, man. It's tough. So I'm not comfortable in there yet.
Wow.
Which is weird to say because, you know, I have a good amount of fights.
I think
my record's 14-4, you know, and you'd think I'd be, that's pro. With all my amateur and stuff like that, you think I'd be more comfortable. Most guys aren't. There's the exception, guys like Anderson Silva, stuff like that. But in general, you're just GSP. Not comfortable in there. Listen, people think, you know, what they see in the octagon, it's an act. The UFC fighters are very, very good actors. I've been in the back.
They're scared as crap, though.
Everyone is terrified in
but
the back.
But they're acting like it.
You,
like,
have to.
Yeah.
You have to.
Fake it till you make it.
Fake it till you make it. And for me, when I'm in the back, I am terrified.
Wow.
Pure terror. I'm just like, dang, what am I doing, man? What am I doing?
That's some scary shit.
Once I hit the crowd, though, I'm cool. Once I hit the crowd,
let's get your music,
showtime, like, let's do this.
Let's go, baby.
Yeah, man, let's go. And I don't fight angry. No one. That's if good. Anyone who fights angry is going to get beat up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost like they take too long. When you first walk out to hear the music, it's like, I feel like it takes forever. I would be like, let's go.
This is the worst part.
Introductions and all this
bro,
crap.
Checking
the ears.
That does suck. However, the worst is fight day, the hurry up and wait game. So
God, you just wait all day, right?
Yeah. So let's see, if you're on pay-per-view, which my last, you know, number of fights have always been televised, the main card doesn't start sometimes 8 p.m.
Oh my God.
So I get to locker room at 6 p.m., 6:30. You know what I'm
sitting
saying?
There, sitting there, taping up. Like,
the whole day you're in the hotel waiting around. oh, I got to go fight this another grown killer in the cage. 12 hours. This is what I do for a living. This is how I make money. I fight another man in my underwear in a cage.
It's crazy, man.
Crazy, right? I seem like a pretty smart dude, right? Like pretty normal, right? Yeah. Something's wrong. Something's loose.
It's good though, man. It's great.
Just kidding.
Now, how does a buddy of mine, Aubrey Marcus, is, you know, the founder of On It, and you know, I think you know him as well. He's friends with Joe Rogan.
Yeah, did
buddy
a podcast. Yeah, I did a podcast with Aubrey with Rogan.
Yeah,
and Rogan's a very close friend.
Yeah, and he was telling me that like he can't sponsor athletes to be, he can kind of like sponsor them on the side, but they can't have anything in the UFC, like,
yeah.
What's the deal with sponsorships in the UFC? It's kind of like they have a monopoly on athletes, right? I feel
100%.
You really can't make that much, it sounds like, unless you're like...
No, no. I mean, I do really well.
Yeah? Well, that's good.
Yeah, I do.
Through sponsorships or through UFC?
Both, but mainly sponsorships. Yeah, but...
More so than payments through the UFC or through fighting
Yeah,
fees,
I make more in sponsorship than from the UFC. Yeah.
But don't the sponsors have to pay the UFC?
This is the thing. So let's say, for example, UFC has a contract with Monster Headphones.
Yeah.
The Monster sponsors the UFC in headphones. So I can't bring in another competitor like Beats by Dre, Soul Headphones. I can't wear those in the Octagon. What I can do is have an outside the Octagon deal, which is a lot of my sponsorship and which is a way a lot of guys are going. So I'm sponsored by Soul Headphones. So I'll do photo shoots for them.
You take those beats
in the
off.
Locker room. Yeah, right. In the locker room, I'll put them on. But I can't wear them or I can't have anything inside the Octagon.
Nothing on the picture, nothing, on the posters or the banners or whatever.
Nothing.
So and you can get a sponsorship deal outside of it.
Outside. And
if you've got a big following, then you can kind of work that.
There you
that.
Go. Yeah. And inside the Octagon, yeah. I mean, they have, I think, Dodge, Harley-Davidson, Monster, Zients.
Yeah.
You're talking about, if you can't compete with any of those.
No.
They have that on lockdown.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But that's cool that you get sponsorships outside that like are still like, you know, we just want to be attached to you.
For sure. You know, on social media, if you follow me out there at Brendan Schaub, both on Instagram and Twitter, I'm sure you put it up. But
yeah,
if you follow me on there, I'm a monster on social media, man.
For me,
it's a good way to have a voice as a professional athlete.
Of course.
And that's why
you have a podcast as well.
Yeah, I have a pretty successful podcast, The Fighter and the Kid.
Yep.
It's on iTunes. And if you follow me on social media, see it. I post all sorts of stuff about it.
Yeah.
The thing is
good over there.
Yeah. A couple cuties. The thing is what's different with UFC athletes is the ability to contact them. If you see them in a hotel or social media, I promise you most of the time Kobe, and I'm not relating myself to Kobe Bryant, but if you tweet at Kobe Bryant, you tweet at an NFL guy, you're not going to get much.
Crickets.
You tweet at a top level UFC guy, you're going to hear back from him.
Really?
We grew up in the social media world, the UFC social media.
They promote
and Twitter.
You on there.
They promote Twitter and Instagram on there and Facebook.
That's great.
Because it
kind of screw you everywhere else,
we
right?
We kind of came up all together.
Yeah.
Like social media, UFC boom, it's kind of goes hand in hand.
The UFC has gotten its popularity through social media. They've
yes,
kind of been-
and Lorenzo Fertitta, who's the owner, one of the owners, and Dana White, the president, say, we want you to tweet so much, we wouldn't mind you tweeting in between rounds, which no one ever does.
Right.
But still, that's just an example of how much they want you on social media.
My friend, I believe my friend kind of trained everyone. Her name's Amy Jo Martin. I know she works directly with Dana.
Yes. She came in and gave us
training camp
a tutorial.
Stuff,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. So I know that they are investing in that for sure. And that's cool that she's
She was a beast, man.
Oh,
she was awesome.
No, she knows
her
stuff.
She has a ton of followers.
Yeah. She's done her stuff.
Yeah.
She kind of got in early with Shaq and kind of blew up. She got suggested user when Twitter
that's
was doing
right.
that. And so she just blew up.
That's right.
And she's worked with Shaq and a bunch of other big names.
And a lot of guys, and I say this all the time, like you have this platform and in the UFC, you have this platform. I don't know how long I'm going to fight. I have no idea.
Yeah.
But I know right now I have the ability to reach out to a lot of people.
Yes, that's powerful.
The goal is to be the champion. That's the number one goal. The podcast, the show stop. I do a UFC Now show on UFC Fight Pass once every other week. And I'm starting to do a show UFC Tonight on Fox Sports.
Nice.
Yes, and that starts September. However, all that stops if I'm not taking care of business inside the Octagon. I realize that.
Because they don't want you in there unless you're
man.
And relevant.
Yeah, you got to be relevant. So for me, I have this platform, and a lot of guys aren't using. They think, you know, they're like, oh, I just got to fight. I have to fight. And social media is not a big deal.
You got
to
build your
business. It's a brand. It's a brand, man. Yeah. And if you want sponsorships to jump on board and you want people to support you, you got to have this brand that people can relate to.
Sure.
And the best, honestly, one of the best moves I've ever done career and business wise is starting a podcast.
Yeah, I would say the same thing.
And we talked about this because it gives you a voice and the amount of support I have now because of the podcast. Because if you tune into a UFC countdown show, a primetime show, the clips you see on YouTube of me or a highlight reel or even on UFC Tonight, it's a very kind of cocky, confident version of myself, which you're talking weeks before a fight where you have this fighter's mentality. Man, I'm a goofball.
Yeah, funny.
I like to inspire people.
Smiley.
Smiley. I get along with everyone. But if you just see those clips, people are like, I don't like Sean, man. He's a cocky asshole. He's probably a bully in high school. Where can it be the most opposite thing?
You're very opposite,
So it gives me this voice. And, you know, if you do listen to the podcast, if you do start listening to it, my nickname is Big Brown.
It's
Big Brown. And originally, my name for several years was The Hybrid.
Uh-huh.
So, and the reason it changed is because...
The Hybrid, because you're like a mix between a lot of different ethnicities.
You never know what I am.
What are you, bro?
I could be Mexican. I might be black. No, a hybrid because I'm big, but I have the cardio and skills of a lightweight. So the hybrid of the heavyweights, which is a cool nickname.
Yeah,
however, on the podcast, my partner, Brian Callen, actor, comedian, kept calling me Big Brown because he goes, you're big, you're brown, you're definitely Apache Indian, you're definitely not white. Yeah, so, and he would keep calling me, and people I'd white post on Instagram would put, you know, hashtag Team Hybrid, and it would get 70 comments. Brown. People like, nah, you're Big Brown. I'm like, dang, man, these people really like Big Brown. So on the podcast, a week before my fight, I did a podcast I fought on Saturday, that Tuesday I did a podcast, and I said, all right, if you think I should change my name to Big Brown, if you tweet at Dana White, at Bruce Buffer, at UFC, and I get a certain amount, I'll change it. And I'm thinking, you know,
As like a UFC fighter.
As a UFC fighter, so I will change my name. I will change
Brennan
it.
Big Brown Shop.
If you guys request it so much, if the fans demand, I will change it. And we had over 4,500 tweets towards Bruce Buffer and Dana White. I had to change my name.
Oh, so they announced me. Because Dana White was like,
Big Brown Shop. Yeah. Bruce Buffer came up to me. Bruce Buffer came up to me. He's like, bro, I've been in the UFC for how long? He goes, I've never had more outreach than your fans telling me to announce you as Big Brown. So like, damn, this has really happened. So now it's official, Brennan Big Brown Shop. And it's on all the UFC stuff now, Big Brown.
That's pretty cool.
It's cool, right?
Wow.
It's cool. You can't choose your nickname. You have to be given a nickname. Don't you think I would pick something badass?
Like
Brendan the Dark Knight.
The Punisher.
Yeah, something less evil. Like, like Brendan the Badass or something like that. The Handsome One or some shit like that.
I like, man, what was this one kid from Ohio? I watched the fight. I think it was like 5 years ago. It was like something Heavy Hands. What was it? It was like The Hammer.
There's the Hammer, Matt Hamill.
Oh, that guy's awesome because he's like half deaf.
Yeah,
right?
There you go.
I was like, I love it.
I'll tell you what, Ohio has some good fighters, man. Yeah. Really good fighters.
And
Rich Franklin, Matt Hamill, you got some monsters.
Well, I always go to the Arnold Classic, and all the UFC guys would be there.
Oh, yeah.
I grew up a few blocks from where they have the Arnold Classic, and I'd always see Rich Franklin and those guys there.
Great guys.
It's awesome. But dang, this is amazing stuff. I love this shit.
I love this.
What? Why do you think you've become so popular? Like, why do you think so many fans have been like, are just behind you for changing your name or just whatever it is? You know, what is it about you?
Yeah, I think it's because a lot of people can relate to me. Listen, I talked about this on the podcast, and I'm just real, man. It's hard for me to be fake, and a lot of time it gets me in a lot of trouble.
You're real.
Yeah, I'm real, and I say what I want to say, and it's hard for me to sugarcoat, and I can't be fake. Like, if you and I butted heads, 100% you'd know on this podcast, and everyone would know.
You're an idiot, bro.
Everyone would know. I'm just not good at it.
Yeah.
That's a good and bad thing.
Yeah.
When you have a voice and you have a live show and you're on the mic, listen, I've been... I've been muted by the UFC a couple of times I've said. For sure, man. We're like, you got to cut this out, man. There's certain stuff you should not be saying. And I get it. I get it. But the reason why people relate to me is because I'm real. I have insecurities about my body. I didn't grow up. Most people, especially as a fighter, you have to come from this broken home and your dad beat you, or you had no money and stuff, food stamps, foster stuff like that. Nah, man, I grew up blue collar. I had a dream. I worked my freaking tail off for it, and I'm still working my tail off, and it's worked out. I'm just your average dude who's 6'4", 245 pounds. However,
and very athletic.
Yeah.
Former pro football player.
But still, there's guys way more athletic than me who aren't doing much with it.
You've developed your skills. You've got a good amount of talent, but there's guys a lot more talented who do
way
not
more talented, way more
skills.
Talented. I'm that kid who, you know, I stuck out in sports in high school. I wasn't that freak. I wasn't that LeBron James. When we were picking teams, I was never first. I was like the middle kid, the white kid who had a dream, who had an older brother who whipped his ass all the time, grew up super tough and driven. Yeah. That's all it is, man.
Me too, man.
Most people think you have to have this crazy background. It's because you're hearing the exception to the people who have made it. Uh-huh. The LeBron James, the Oprah Winfrey's, the Tyler Perry's, whatever. Those are the exceptions where these crazy, crazy stories. Nah, man. There's a ton of successful people out there who grew up in normal homes.
Sure.
There's no drama. They, you know, just
had
middle class family. Had a dream
and
you freaking ran with it, man.
Yeah.
And that shit is inspiring. And that's why people jump on board the big brown train.
The big brown train, baby. I want to get on the big brown train. It just sounds fun, right? You know? Where's it taking me?
It's a beast. You never know. You never know.
Okay. Point number 13. We're both 6'4", over 220 pounds, 225.
Yeah.
Point number 13. I don't know if you still drive a Prius, but we've both driven a Prius.
Oh.
I saw a video. You said you drive your Prius. You still drive that?
I still have it. I didn't drive it today. I drove my other car today, but I have a Prius and that thing bums me out, man.
Dude, I had it for the first 6 months when I moved here, and I'm just like a hunchback. Like, it's so tiny.
It's tiny, and I feel like it's unsafe, and I feel like it's poorly made.
I can push in the door. Like, the metal just goes in.
For sure. Nothing makes me more excited to wake up on Monday morning and kick the shit out of the Prius. I'm just like, forget this thing. Yeah. Listen, I bought it because I drive 600 miles a week in training camp.
You're just like going all over
Orange County,
right?
LA, all over the valley. So it makes sense. However, I don't know, man.
You never fill it up. It's like you never fill it up.
Which is great, but it's just a piece of crap.
Yeah.
It's just poorly made.
Yeah.
And there are a dime a dozen. And
everyone's got one.
Everyone has one. And I don't know. I hate it.
Wow.
I hate it. I know.
Interesting.
I still have it. I use it. Gas friendly. Whatever. Whatever. If someone's looking for a Prius, hit me up. Or if you just want to kick the shit out of one to feel good, let some stress out, hit me up as well.
Point number 14, we both moved to LA and live near the beach.
Yes, this is correct. I live in Marina Del Rey,
Santa Monica. I'm only here for a little bit. I'm going back to West Hollywood soon. But
West Hollywood, huh? You like it there?
I like being, you know what I feel like? I can train like a beast there. Like, I go to CrossFit, I go to kickboxing, I run through the hills, I play street basketball there.
Okay.
It's like, I feel like an athlete, and I'm getting things done in my business. Here, I just want to go to the beach.
Really?
And like chill. It's like, I'm going to go work out, and I'll run down there, and I'm like, hey, what's up, guys?
You know. Yeah, I get that. That makes sense because most of my training, obviously, it's not on the beach. I wish I'll run on the beach, which is dope because you don't have to think about running. You're just running, and there's the beach and ocean, all
that's beautiful. Yeah.
So, I get that. But see, when I'm
and maybe since I've just been
when
here
I'm
for
driving all around, it's the same. You know, so this is my escape. When I come home, it's like, oh, thank God, this is dope.
And maybe it's because I know I'm only here for a couple months, so I'm kind of like it's like a vacation
for you. You're on long
it's like a
vacation,
and I don't know when our next tournament is with the USA national team. Yeah. So I'm kind of like, I don't know when I'm going to get ready for something
for sure.
So I'm
that makes sense.
Kind of maintaining, and like,
I get that. Good for you. It's a good time, man.
Yeah, it's cool. But I feel like I'm not.
You got a girlfriend living on the beach.
Tough life.
Someone has to do it.
Okay, so point number 15, and this is the final one that I found, although I'm sure there's plenty more. We both have our own podcast, which we already talked about. Yours is called The Fighter and the Kid. I watched one episode. I was laughing my ass off.
It's ridiculous, right?
So I highly recommend you guys go subscribe right now on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher. There's a video podcast as well as audio, The Fighter and the Kid. With who's your co-host?
Brian Callen.
Brian
and you guys
Callen.
Might know him from The Hangover. His name's
you might
Eddie.
Know him from.
You might know him from He was on Mad TV, The Hangover, Sex in the City. He's the guy in The Hangover shows. You tell him I say hello. He's the guy that marries him. And the second one, he's the one where they go in the strip club.
Yeah,
he's that guy.
Was he
Eddie.
Also on
He was in...
was he on Kevin Hart's movies recently?
Yes. Yes, he was in Ride Along.
Was he in Ride Along? There's
was
another
cop,
movie
he was
I
a cop
was
in Ride Along, and then About Last Night.
Is that what it was?
I've seen About... See, I love romantic comedies.
I do, too.
Love them.
What's your favorite one?
Man, About Last Night's up there.
I was going to say, Friends Love with Actually. Benefit.
Love Actually is really good.
One of my top.
I like Friends with Benefits, Love Friends Actually. Benefit. There's a lot of them, man. He's Just Not That Into You. What?
Jesus, dude.
Something Borrowed. Come on. What are we doing? What are we doing?
You didn't have a girl to go watch this with.
I know. Yeah, there's someone to do it. There's someone to do it.
So, yeah, definitely go check out the podcast, The Fighter and the Kid. It's been around for a year and a half, you said, now.
Year and a half, man.
You do it, what, weekly?
We do it once a week.
Once a week.
Once
you do
a
it
week.
In the studio here in L.A.?
We do it at Fox Sports.
Where is that?
Fox Sports is the studio we do is in Playa Vista. So close to Marina Del Rey, right? Okay. Real close.
Cool.
Do you know where the YouTube offices are at?
Yeah.
It's across the street from there.
Interesting.
Yeah, man.
You got a nice little studio. It's a good little setup. I'm thinking about doing video now after just seeing so many of my friends doing it.
It's weird, man. Our video, me and Brian, you know, obviously Brian's an actor, comedian, so we're both very animated. Yeah. And if you look
goofy.
At, we're super goofy. Like, I don't, the podcast, when people listen to it once, they're kind of like, yeah, I'm in, man, because... Yeah. With other podcasts, you're going to learn a little. Your stuff, you know, I've been listening to yours. Yours, you're definitely going to learn some key life lessons.
Yeah, yeah.
On ours, you're going to learn some stuff, but you're going to feel like you're one of the guys.
Yeah, yeah,
you're going to feel like you're one of the guys or one of the girls in our circle of trust.
Yeah, that's cool.
We say some ridiculous stuff. We have fan questions. And,
that's cool.
Yeah, it's different, man.
I like it, man. I feel like I could talk on for another hour, but I want to just get to a couple last questions.
Let's do this.
I want to know about... the moments before the big fights.
Yeah.
And your ritual.
Okay.
I want to know about, again, I know you said you were like terrified and you're scared and things like that.
Yeah.
But like, what is like the mindset? Do you have a mantra? Do you go through a meditation process? Do you have like, do you write? What do you visualize? Are you visualizing like the results you want?
Yeah.
Or is it just kind of like blank mind? Let's do this. Like, what is your process?
Yeah. My thing is I don't want to get in my own way. I don't want to be my worst enemy, which is in fighting is the number one key because you're going to go in there and there's going to be a sense of fear and fear can motivate you or it's going to paralyze you.
Yeah.
And for me, I just keep reminding myself, like, there's nothing more you can do. No one trains harder than me. There's just not, I don't care who you are. You can tweet Cain Velasquez. You can tweet Fabricio Verdum, whoever you want. I guarantee you they don't train as hard as I do. So for me, I get my confidence from that. So when I get to the back of the locker room, I'm breathing. I'm like, dude, you do this every single day. This is what you do. It's no different. Just go perform. Winning will take care of itself.
Wow.
Don't, you can't, there's nothing, I can't focus on what he's going to do. I just can't. I have no idea what he's going to do. You just got to go and do your thing. You have to have this trust. Yeah, you're going to be scared. And I'm at that moment now where I know those feelings and those butterflies. And it's about getting these butterflies, which are all over the place, and getting them to come together and in the right direction. Mm. Because if you let those butterflies go all crazy, you're going to mess up, man. I've been there. It took two hard, hard losses to learn that you can't fight like that.
Wow.
Like, I'd just fight erratically and try and get in and out there. And this is tough to say.
You lost those.
I lost those, yeah, because at the heavyweight division and fighting at a world-class level, if you go on there and you're fighting erratically, you're going to get clipped, man. You're going to lose that fight. And I lost two very big fights that way. And since then,
I got knocked out?
Knocked out. And since then, I've adapted this kind of fighting style where use your abilities. When I go in there and I just stand toe-to-toe and I swing with a guy, it's 50-50.
Wow.
Why even train for that? To me, it's like, why even train for that? That's like having this Formula One race car and putting the driver in and you have a game plan. And he's just like, nah, man, puts in sixth gear and floors it. And you're going to lose every time. You're going to peel out and run into the wall.
Wow.
And that's what we were doing. So now, you know, I made the move to LA. And for me, it's about using my tools. And I think those are going to be tough for anyone in the world to beat. But in order to use those tools, I have to get out of my own way. I have to get out of my own way. You're going to have these negative thoughts, and it's about having these negative thoughts. As soon as I have one, nip it in the butt. And be like, nah, man, you've trained too hard to act like this. You trained way too hard to act like this. Wow. So it's just I'm motivated by fear.
Yeah.
Like every morning I wake up and it's just like, dang, man, what we got to go. We got to get going. And I just feel like I'm going to lose it all. Every single day I feel like tomorrow I'm going to lose it all. That's
what
I feel like.
So you're motivated to not lose it.
to not lose it, but I haven't done anything. I feel like I haven't done anything. Like
you haven't won a championship.
Like we thought, like you tweeted out and right. I text you. Yeah. I don't even know you, right? I barely know you. You tweet out on Twitter, the champ is here, Brendan Schaub. Let me know if you have questions. I texted, hey bro, just doing a solid. I'm not the champ. I appreciate it. I'm not the champ, but you're gonna take some heat from the UFC, you know, from UFC fans, you know, like, Schaub's not the champ, blah, blah. for me, it's like I don't deserve that credit yet. Sure. Like, man, I've done nothing to be regarded as the champ, you know.
Right.
And I'm very sensitive to stuff like that. Sure. Like, I was the kid when I came on to the University of Colorado. As soon as you walk into the locker room, they give you a stack of issued gear, University of Colorado Buffalo football gear, all sorts of cool stuff.
Must backpacks. Have been one of the coolest feelings.
Well, you would think, right? To me, everyone put it on. I didn't. I put it in my bag and walked to my dorm, and I was like, I just don't deserve to wear this right now. I'm going to hold off until I actually contribute to the team before I wear any of this. I was one of the only kids. You would walk around, and kids would wear it, so they stuck out and would get girls, and I'd be embarrassed. I haven't done anything.
Yeah.
So until I played, I didn't wear anything.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
Wow, man, this is fascinating. I love this stuff. Well, I've got one question for you left. But I want to make sure everyone goes to @BrendanSchaub.
@BrendanSchaub on Twitter and Instagram.
On Twitter and Instagram. Good stuff, good content, pictures. I'm gonna videotape this next question. but check them out. The Fighter and the Kid. Make sure to subscribe. Even if you're not a UFC fan, it's just fun and entertaining.
We really don't talk about fighting.
Yeah. So check it out. His co-host Brian is a pretty funny dude. So hopefully I can have you come back on and talk more about this stuff
because it's fascinating. Yeah, especially we live so close.
Exactly.
Even if you're in West Hollywood, it's pretty close. I work out down there.
Yeah, or if you want to surf, I'm down.
Are you a surfer?
I mean, I haven't done it in a while, but...
I'm a two-stripe white belt at surfing. Yeah. I mean, I'm not good.
I'll go hack around.
Yeah, I'll go fall in the water. Yeah, I'll tell girls I surf. I have a legit surfboard. I look the part.
Do you have a big one? Is it a big like...
Big board.
It's got to be.
It's kind of embarrassing. Dude's like, oh, sweet, man, you paddleboard? I'm like, no, man, it's my surfboard. He's like... Oh, cool. Yeah, I know.
I need a big board or else I can't get up.
I know, man. You can't do anything. Big. It's embarrassing. And then when I first got here, I bought a boogie board. Bad luck, man. I guess boogie board for the pansies.
Like a little knee board thing? Like a little...
Like, yeah, like the little thing you're on. Like, it's basically like in 300. Lift your shield, bro. Like, it's just... It wasn't good, man.
Wow.
It wasn't good.
I'll take that out.
I'm telling you, don't want to be on that
really
thing.
Really that bad?
Yeah, girls were like, oh, my God. Not a good look, man.
Nice. Well, is there anything else we want to direct people, or is it all Twitter and Instagram and the main place in the
Twitter,
podcast?
Instagram, Facebook, it's all the same @ Brendan Schaub. The podcast is The Fire and the Kid, iTunes, cool. SoundCloud. Cool. Can't miss us, cool. Man.
Awesome, man.
What's this next?
The final question is what I ask all my guests.
I'm worried about this.
It's nothing big deal. But it's what is your definition of greatness?
My definition of greatness is having failures or getting knocked down and getting back up and being successful. That would be greatness. Yeah.
Love it, man. Well, Brendan Schaub, check him out. Watch the next UFC fight whenever we know it is.
I'll let you know, man. Yeah, I'll come on here before I fight.
Yeah, be awesome.
I'll let you know about training camp. And
I would love to come watch a workout sometime and just see you like do your thing.
You got it, man.
Or even just like work out on the side.
For sure.
You know, or whatever.
Yeah.
When I'm getting ready.
You said you do some kickboxing?
I do kickboxing, yeah. I do it with this like at a CrossFit gym, actually. So it's like
so
a
it's more like
class.
It's like a cardio thing.
But
more?
I want to get into it more where it's like one-on-one.
For sure, man. Yeah. Let me know.
I've got all the pads. I've got everything.
Yeah, let me know. Yeah. So we'll work out together. We'll do some stuff. Yeah, we could do that. Yeah. Have you ever done jiu-jitsu or anything?
I've
grappling?
Never got any of that.
All right. See, have you ever wrestled before or anything?
Like sixth grade for like a month. You guys were shooting my knees so easily.
Like, forget this.
You were shooting my knees so easily.
No, we'll do something, man, for sure. We'll get Patrick involved.
I'll put on a freaking headgear and just like... Whatever, let you spar me.
Yeah.
Just
well, yeah.
Maybe
I don't think you want that. Yeah. We'll figure it out.
You can just tap me.
Yeah, just we'll figure it out. Yeah.
Or we can all have pads and just like.
That's true. I'll hold pads for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm down. Cool, man.
Cool, man. Well, Brent, I appreciate it, brother.
And, no problem, man.
Thanks for coming on.
Appreciate
and
you having
we'll
me
talk
on.
To you soon.
Yes, sir.
And there you have it, guys. I hope you enjoyed this entertaining episode with Brendan. Definitely a lot of fun to hang out with and talk with. So we'll try to get him back on here at some point. Maybe when his next book comes out or something, we'll bring him back on and dissect that. But I appreciate you guys for listening, for subscribing. Make sure to go head over to the show notes over at lewishowes.com Brendan.com/82. And you can check out some fun videos we posted of Brendan. I think there's a video we're going to post of him doing some ballet and some other highlights. He's got some really cool stuff, an engaging guy to watch on video. So go check those out. Make sure to follow him over on Instagram and on Twitter and Facebook. We'll have that all linked up at lewishouse.com/82 as well. And share this with your friends over on Facebook and Twitter. If you haven't yet subscribed, make sure to subscribe on iTunes and SoundCloud and Stitcher and get updates on all the future episodes. I appreciate you guys so much for tuning in today and for being an avid listener. And I'm excited to bring you some awesome guests here in the future. So thanks so much again, guys, for tuning in. And you know what time it is. It's time to go out there and do something great.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
At Metro, get an iPhone 12 with 5G and a dual camera system for $99.99. Take amazing pictures and share them instantly. And don't put up with life's yada yada.
Yada yada.
Like photo bombers. Zoom, crop out,
yada yada,
and bye.
You don't take yada yada in life, don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Get iPhone 12 with 5G with no activation fees and nada yada yada. Only at Metro by T-Mobile. Switch to Metro, bring your ID. This offer isn't available for customers currently at T-Mobile or that have been with Metro in the past 180 days.